The Camel Club by David Baldacci. Read by Alex Jennings. The Chevy Suburban sped down the road, enveloped by the hushed darkness of the Virginia countryside. 41-year-old Adnan Al-Remi was hunched over the wheel. Adnan had been born in Saudi Arabia but migrated to Iraq as a young boy. There were two passengers in the back seat. The man talking in Farsi on a cell phone was Mohammed Al-Zawahiri, an Iranian who had entered the country shortly before the terrorist attacks on 9/11. The man next to him was an Afghan named Gul Khan, who'd been in the States only a few months. He was checking his machine gun with nimble fingers. A few drops of rain fell against the window. Hearing the clatter of an engine, Adnan glanced out. Mohammed had heard it too. He rolled down his window and poked his head out. When he saw the wink of red lights overhead, he barked at Adnan, who nodded and hit the gas. The Chevy flew along the snaking country road, yet even the fastest car couldn't outrun a helicopter on a serpentine track. Mohammed ordered Adnan to pull off under some trees and wait to see if the chopper kept going. Adnan drove under the trees, and all three men got out and crouched down by the vehicle. For a moment it appeared that the chopper had left, but then a searchlight beam cut through the tree canopy directly over them. Mohammed nodded at Adnan, instructing him to go for a better look. The Iraqi ran to the edge of the tree line and gazed up. The chopper was hovering 60 feet overhead. Adnan returned to his companions, reporting what he'd seen.
"Shit," Mohammed said. "I think they're landing."
Adnan nodded at his companions.
"It is only a two-person helicopter. There are three of us. We will take some Americans with us." "You fool!" Mohammed snapped. "If we are stopped now, our plans will not succeed. Here is what I want you two to do. Hold them off while I make a run for it. There is another road a half mile through these trees. I can call Marwan to come and pick me up."
"If we are to die while you escape, give me your gun,"
Adnan said bitterly. The Iranian pulled out his pistol and tossed it to him. The burly Khan turned toward the chopper and smiled.
"Firing into their tailprop before they can land worked very well against the Americans in my country. Their spines snapped like twigs when they hit the ground."
The bullet hit him in the back of the neck, snapping Khan's own spine like a twig, and the big Afghani fell dead. Mohammed had started to run. The cowboy boots he favored were not built for it. Adnan caught up with him when he fell over a tree trunk. Mohammed looked up at his colleague.
"Adnan, please. Why? Why?"
Adnan fired a contact shot into the man's left temple, then pressed Mohammed's hand around the gun, set it down and made his way quickly back to the clearing where the chopper had landed. Adnan had lied. It was actually a four-person chopper. Two men got out. Adnan led them back to Mohammed's body after stopping to retrieve a shotgun from the Suburban. The object the men were carrying was a body bag. They unzipped it. Inside was a man. A man who looked remarkably like Adnan and was dressed identically to him. The man was unconscious, but still breathing. They set him up against a tree near where the dead Iranian lay. Adnan handed his wallet to one of the men, and he placed it in the unconscious man's jacket pocket. Then the other man took the shotgun from Adnan, pressed Mohammed's dead hands around it, pointed it at the unconscious man, and fired a blast into his head, instantly wiping away part of his face. A minute later, Adnan and the two men were racing to the helicopter. It immediately lifted into the air. Adnan was not thinking about his dead companions. His thoughts had pushed on to a far greater glory that awaited him. If they succeeded, humanity would speak of it for generations to come in awed tones. Adnan Al-Remi was now officially a dead man, yet he would never be more valuable. The chopper took a northerly route, on its way to western Pennsylvania, to a town called Brennan. He was running hard, bullets embedding in things all around him. He had no weapon to return fire. The woman next to him was his wife. The young girl next to her was their daughter. A bullet sliced through his wife's wrist, and he heard her scream.